Bible says, after this, the judgment. And friend, you will stand before God. Please listen to me. Your religiousness will not get you into heaven. Your good works will not grant you access into the kingdom of heaven. You say, preacher, I'm young. I don't need to worry about that. I've got my whole life ahead. Friend, do not be foolish. Today may be the last day that you will exist and live on this earth. Today, your soul may be required of you. If you die today unexpectedly and you stand before God, where will you go? This is not a message of religion. This is not a message of some church. It's a message from God. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm glad that God allowed me to live long enough till the day came when I saw that religion, good works, church, membership of a Baptist church wasn't going to get me to heaven. And that day I saw myself for what I was, a sinner headed for hell. But the great thing is I saw Jesus as who He was. The Son of God who gave His life, who died on a cross, who shed His blood on Calvary's tree, who went to Golgotha's hill and He died there to pay the punishment for my sins. But I've got good news. He did it to pay the punishment for your sins as well. And I remember that day when I realized I was headed for hell. But I remember that day I realized that only Jesus could save my soul. Only Jesus could forgive me. Only Jesus was buried and rose again 3 days after that from the grave. And that day I called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever, that means you, friend. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Whosoever. The Bible doesn't say the elect. I don't care what some of the popular pastors of our independent Baptist churches and big, well-known named independent Baptist colleges are now teaching and preaching. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I assure you that God so loved the world. That means He loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't give His only Son. He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting in life. I want you to know today, friend, that if you will come to the end of your road, and if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary to forgive you and save you, and call upon the Lord and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you and save you, that you too can have the gift of eternal life. That you can walk out here saying, now I know whether I die today or 100 years from now, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Friend, there is nothing more important than that. Not a more important message that could ever be delivered from this pulpit or any other place on planet Earth than that message. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you saved this morning? I didn't ask you if you're religious. Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you're a member of this or any other church. Are you saved today? Are you saved? Amen. I hope that you are. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It's good to be here this morning. I know I've got just a few minutes, and I will endeavor to get across what God has told me to say. It's 11:30 right now, or shortly thereafter, and I preach fast, so it'll be all right. Amen. You just got to listen fast this morning. Amen. I wanted to just say this very quickly because I know everybody asks. We praise the Lord. It's a blessing for my wife and I to be here at any time. I mean that sincerely. Any opportunity we have to be here is always a blessing because I appreciate where your pastor stands and his dear wife, and I appreciate the church, and this church means a lot to us. We travel around the roads. I'm always singing the old songs that we sing under the tent. Not too many tent meetings going on anymore in this day and age, and I'll tell you something, I'm blessed to get to still preach a few of them, but I'll tell you what, I remember some good times sitting underneath that tent. We pulled in this morning, and the first thing I said, it's just not the same without that tent being there, amen? But God's still good, amen? And I'm very nostalgic. My wife gets tired of it the whole way down there. I said, remember this, remember that, remember when, remember this, amen. And there's nothing wrong with all that, amen. I like that. But I do want to give you a quick update. It's very good to be here, and we're honored to be here. And I do thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come and allowing me to preach today. And just want to give you a quick update. My wife and I have had a lot of change in our life since we've been here last. We do want to praise the Lord that all four of our children, we have three sons and a daughter, all four of our children are all both fervently and faithfully serving the Lord. And I said all that to say this, it can be done. You say, well, how do you do it? Just follow the Bible. Follow the Bible. We do make mistakes as parents. Amen. God doesn't want us to beat ourselves up over that. But I want to be an encouragement that as you're raising kids or someday we'll be having kids, you can turn your children out for the Lord. Our children are all grown. They're all out of school. Our youngest, which is our daughter, Sarah, has been out of school for 2 years. And I thank God for all of our kids. For, like I said, serving the Lord. Zachary is a pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church in our area, the New Hope Independent Baptist Church. He's married, of course, his wife, and he have a little baby, which is our grandson, amen. And they were kind and gracious enough to name him after Grandpa, amen. So there's another Mark Thomas Curlin running around on planet Earth. And Pastor, he comes up to the front. It's funny, when we're at church here, he'll come up to the auditorium when church is over. He walks up there and gets up around. He doesn't come up the steps generally, but he'll come up and he'll walk right over in front of the pulpit and he'll look, and everybody watches him, you know, because he's like the center attraction at the church. That's the pastor's son, you know. He'll come up and stand up in front of the pulpit and he'll look at everybody, and when everybody's looking at him, he goes, like that. And that's about as good as it gets. He says, that's what Daddy and Grandpa do, amen. So I think that's what you're supposed to do. But we're blessed to be grandparents, amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Zachary's twin brother, of course, Zachary's been here already for tent meeting, but you remember Tyler was here, and Tyler is full-time in evangelism, and he travels around preaching and singing and serving the Lord in that capacity. Our other son, Clayton, is a businessman. He has his own business in Huntington, Pennsylvania. He has a very successful business there, and he is a member of Emmanuel Bible Church, an independent fundamental Baptist church. Some of you may know Pastor Gregory Harvin. They hold a large ladies' conference there every single year, and people come from around the country for that. Clayton serves the Lord there in that church. He helps out with the youth ministry and preaches periodically on Sunday evenings to the teenagers there and works with them. And then our daughter, Sierra, works for her brother, and she takes care of all the business and the books and so forth for his business. She also travels with us on the road some and helps with special music. And when she's not doing that, she's serving the Lord there in our local church, and we thank God for that. You pray for our sons. Both I was telling Pastor, both Tyler and Clayton will most probably be married within the next 12 months or sooner. And they're both in relationships with two sisters. Their daddy's a pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church down in Florida, and we thank the Lord for a godly daughter-in-law, and godly daughter-in-law's on the way. Amen. God's good. Turn in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read, or Luke. Did I say Matthew? Luke. Luke chapter 6. It's all right. I'm cutting into my preaching time, fooling around here. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read this verse and then we'll pray. Verse 31. Look with me. Luke 6 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And as ye would, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." I want to preach on this subject this morning, do unto others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask you now that you just help me in the next few moments of time to relay to your people what you put in my heart to say this morning. God, please, we need help from you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us that which only can come from God. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. You won't find that in the Word of God. You won't find those words in the Bible, but this is where that saying comes from. It comes from the Bible here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, where Jesus said, "And as ye would that men should do to you," and really what he's saying is this, whatever you would desire that others would do to you, that's what I want you to do to them. The Bible says likewise. That means a mirroring image. Here's what Jesus was saying. I want you to treat, I want you to entreat, I want you to respond, I want you to act, I want you to talk, I want you to do, I want you to speak to everyone else in the same way you would want those people to act, to talk, to treat, to entreat, to respond, to do to you if you were in that situation. Can I tell you something? We're missing that today in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches. We're missing this understanding of this, and I will call it the golden rule, if you will. We're missing this because what we're doing today is not a mirroring image. It's not likewise. It is not an exact reflection. We don't treat people the way we would want to be treated. We're treating people the way we want to treat people. And you know what? I believe that the absolute picture perfect of Christianity is found right here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. And I want to give you these things quickly, the way we need to treat others. And these things that I'm giving to you this morning in our message are things that I believe need to change. Number one, do unto others. That's the title of the message. Do unto others regarding praying for others. I believe that we fail to pray for others in the same way we would want to be prayed for. The Bible says in James 5 and in verse 16, pray for one another. Now let me just say this to you. In my prayer life, when I pray, the first person I pray for is myself. Somebody came to me one time and they said, Preacher, they didn't hear me preach, but they came and they said, Preacher, I never pray for myself. I said, but you should. And they said, why? I said, because you need help. Amen. They looked at me like, what are you talking about? I pray for myself first. Do you know why? Not because I'm selfish, but because I need help. And here's what I'm trying to get at. I can't help somebody else if I myself haven't gotten the help I need from God. I don't pray for myself because I'm selfish in my wants, but I say, God, Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm short in coming. Lord, I have a lot of faults and a lot of failures. Lord, I'm not perfect. Lord, I make mistakes. Lord, I do dumb things. Pastor, I've done more dumb things, said more dumb things that I regret having said and done in my life. I don't want to think about that. And I just say, Lord, help me not to be dumb today. Lord, help me not to say something stupid. Lord, help me not to act as a dumb way. And Lord, help me because I need your help. Help me to be the Christian that I'm supposed to be. Help me, Lord, to be the husband that I need to be. Help me, Lord, to be the father and the grandfather. Help me to be the preacher. Help me to be the witness. Lord, I need help. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I'm admitting to God and praying to God and petitioning God for help, because without His help, man, I'm just going to be a miserable wreck. But brothers and sisters, can I say this? We need to pray for ourselves because we all need help, but we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. I'm telling you today that we have failed and we have coming up short in the area of prayer. And listen to me. We'll pray. Lord, pray. Lord, I pray you'd increase my finances. Lord, I pray that you'd help me here. Lord, give me a better job. Lord, help me to get a new car. Lord, make a way for a nice vacation. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we need to pray for others. By the way, not only does the Bible say that we are to pray for one another, but I want you to understand this. Jesus was the Lord help me. He was the perfect picture. You say, how so? In John chapter 17, and for sake of time, I want to ask you to turn there. In verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus said, I pray for them which thou hast given me. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11 says, we pray always for you. By the way, if I had not had people who were praying for me, I wouldn't be standing here. I've said this many times in my life. If it wasn't for my mama who prayed for me, if it wasn't for my daddy who prayed for me, I wouldn't be here today. There was people who prayed for me when they thought I was away from God. I was lost and undone. And they prayed that God would get a hold of my heart, and He did. He saved me. Amen. And I thank God for that. And as I stand here today, I have hundreds and maybe even thousands of people that have told me they pray for me every single day. I go around preaching and people say, Brother Curlin, we pray for you every single morning. We pray for you every single evening. Can I tell you something? I appreciate that. And Pastor, I'm thankful for that. But it's a reminder to me, I need to pray for them. And aren't you glad that people have prayed for you? Amen. By the way, if you were the one that was sick, wouldn't you want someone to pray for you? If you were the one whose spouse just died, wouldn't you want someone to pray for you? If you were the one whose child was away from God, wouldn't you want someone to pray for you? If you were the one that was just diagnosed with terminal illness, if you were the one that just lost their job, are you listening? If you were the one who was having marriage troubles, if you were the one whose kid had got, wouldn't you want someone to pray for you? How many of you in here have a job? Would you raise your hand? You have a job. Sir, you're employed. What's your first name again?
Julio.
Can I tell you what? You need to pray for Julio. Amen. Pray for his job. Amen?
Amen,
you happily married?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that? Can you read through the lines? You better pray for him and his wife and pray for their marriage. You say, he just said his marriage is good. I hope it's great.
Amen.
You say, well, then what do we need to pray for? That God keeps it great. You said he's got a job. What do we need to pray for him? Thank God that he's employed and ask God to help to keep him employed. Amen. You know what we do? We wait till there's an emergency and we cry out and ask God for help. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We need to, man, I want to tell you what, enter into his courts, the Bible says, with praise, into his gates with thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that. And brothers and sisters, we need to pray for people who are in trouble, but we also need to pray for people who aren't in trouble and say, Lord, I just want to let you know that I'm thankful that Brother Julio has got a job. I'm thankful that he's married. I'm thankful that everything seems to be well on the homestead. And God, I want to tell you that I'm thankful for that, and thank you for blessing him with a job and blessing him with a good marriage. And Lord, I pray that you would keep his job intact and that you would keep his marriage intact. I believe that preventative prayer is powerful. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to pray for each other. I'm telling you that the church, I'm telling you that the assembly of God and the house of God needs to be busy about praying for one another. I want to tell you something, Pastor. When we begin to labor in praying for each other, it'll make our churches tighter. It'll make our churches more committed to one another. And let me tell you something. When you walk in, you look around and you start seeing the faces for all the people that you've been praying for all week between services. By the way, Jesus prayed. Are you praying? I'm glad that there was people who prayed for me when I thought I was going to die with cancer. I'm glad that there was people who prayed for me I'm glad there's people who pray for me every single day. But I also know that I need to pray for others. Amen. I believe that it's important. I make it a routine. And boy, being traveling around the churches, there's a lot of churches, a lot of people. And I'm telling you, I run into people with all kinds of problems. And constantly people are coming up and saying, Brother Curlin, will you pray? Will you pray? Will you pray? Will you pray? And there's a lot of people. And I tell someone I'm going to pray for them. I pray for them. And I do engage in praying and fasting for people. They may not be close to me, but they're people in different churches that I meet that have needs or in trouble or whatever. And I believe that it is an important part of what a Christian should do. You say, why so? Because Jesus said, inasmuch as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. I believe that needs to be demonstrated in praying for others. Not only do we need to pray for others, but let me give you this. We need to provide for others. The Bible in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says this, give and it shall be given unto you. By the way, you don't give to get in return, but God said if you just give with the right spirit and a right heart, it's going to come back to you. You can't outgive God. I thank the Lord today. We've traveled around the country for many, many years now, and almost completely and entirely, almost, not totally, but almost all of the income that we receive and what we live off of and what we pay the mortgage and pay the car payment and pay the insurance and pay the food bill, almost all of the income that has ever come into our family has come from the giving of God. Whatever people give, that's what we live off of. And can I tell you something? God makes a way. I have enough money in my pocket today to buy pastor lunch, amen. I don't know about Sister Gilmore, amen, but at least I can buy one of them lunch, amen. Hey, listen to me. I'm not rich, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm not impoverished. I will tell you that. God, listen, you're not going to hear this preacher stand up here in poor mouth. And we live by the goodness of God's people, but I'm going to tell you something. It's God who's taking care of us. And I want you to hear this today. God is good, and God has provided for us all along the way. There were some times we had to walk by faith. Lord, we don't know where it's going to come from. Lord, we don't know how we're going to pay the bills. But you know what? Lord, the Lord has always made a way. And I thank the Lord for the giving of God's people. But when was the last time we took up an offering for somebody that wasn't in the ministry at all? Pastor, I've done a little checking it out. That's foreign in our independent Baptist churches. Why would we do that? They're not in the ministry. Do you realize that sometimes we have brothers and sisters in Christ that fall upon hard times? They get sick. They can't work. The bills mount up. Are you listening? Yeah, and I know that I'm going to be, I already know that somebody is probably going to call me a liberal for saying this. And I agree that much of it is under humanitarian acts. But you know what? Some of the liberal mainline denominations have the wrong Bible, the wrong gospel, the wrong everything. They're doing some things that we need to be doing in our independent Bible-believing churches. They'll take up a love offering for somebody that's not in the ministry, but that's in need. You know what? We've stopped. Well, that's foreign to us. We'll take up a love offering for somebody who's in the ministry because that's scriptural. Yes, but listen to me. Given it shall be given unto you. And there's other passages of scripture. I'm not going to go there. When was the last time we passed the plate and say, you know what? Brother so-and-so lost his job. Sister so-and-so has had some physical problems. They haven't been able to work. They're hurting, so on and so forth. And we need to do for them. I'm talking about giving. Hey, let me tell you something. If it was you that was in that place, if it was you that was in that position, wouldn't you be grateful? Wouldn't you be glad for somebody who tried to help you? What I'm preaching today is not some liberal form of Christianity. It's fundamental. I'm telling you that. It's biblical. Jesus said so. We need to pray for others, but we need to provide for others. By the way, Jesus was a provider. Amen? In churches, every single week, people will take us out, and they'll take us out for dinner or have us to their house for dinner. Jesus fed 5,000 one time. Amen? He was a provider. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up. It doesn't say whosoever hath it or whosoever hath this world's good and seeth a minister in need. It says and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowel of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Pastor, I was reading this and God hit me with this. You know what's being called into question in that passage? Somebody's salvation. The Bible says, how in the world can you say that God dwells in you if you see your brother or sister, if you see someone that has need and you don't even endeavor to do anything to help them? How can you say that God dwells in you? You know what God's saying? He's saying that's not Christian-like. That's not the way a child of God acts. Brothers and sisters, you better look at it for what it is. How in the world can you say you're Christian and you see somebody, another brother, another sister that has need, and you have the wherewithal to help them, and yet you do nothing? Be warmed and filled. I believe that we need to demonstrate by praying for others. We need to demonstrate by providing for others. And then let me give you this. We need to demonstrate by being patient with others. 2 Peter 1 and verse 6 says to do this, add to your temperance patience. By the way, Jesus was patient. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John the Revelator spoke of the patience of Jesus Christ. We are even exhorted in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to run the race with patience. Brothers and sisters, we're in a race, and if we don't do it with patience, we're in big trouble. Amen. But you know what we need to do? We need to have patience. Amen. With each other. We don't do that. Man, we're so sure. We don't have patience with people. We get so aggravated when somebody doesn't do just the way we think we ought to. We get so aggravated with people if they don't act the way. We get so aggravated if they're just not quick enough. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, we get so frustrated. I watch people jumping on somebody else and snapping at somebody else and barking at somebody. And we lack patience today. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. I said this before. I'll say it again. I've done some dumb things. I've messed up. I've said some things I shouldn't said. I've acted some ways I should. I sure, and I'm asking, oh, Pete, please be patient with me. Pastor, I'm glad that God is patient with me. But I'm watching this, and it's happening in our, if you can allow me to use this, in our brand of independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James fundamental churches, we lack patience. We want everyone to be patient with us, but we don't have patience with other people. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, we've got to stop being like that. And start being like Jesus. Amen. I believe we need to demonstrate patience. Christ did. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10 in his letter there. In verse 10 he says, thou hast known my patience. You know what that means? He had a demonstration. He had a testimony. He had an example that was laid out of his patience. If there's anything we need today, it's we need patience and we need it with each other. Amen. Hey, listen to me. We have to understand, and sometimes Christians have to understand, that not everybody is as perfect as you are. Amen. Not everybody is as quick. Not everybody does things at quite the speed you need to do them, or that you can do them. Amen. I'm glad that people have been patient with me, and you know what? I need to be patient with others. And then let me give you this. We need to have pity. We need to have pity. The Bible says this, love as brethren, be pitiful in 1 Peter. By the way, Jesus had pity. The Bible says in James 5 and verse 11, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I am glad that there are times in my life when people have pitied me. By the way, my wife is numero uno, amen. I won her heart because she had pity for me when we were in high school. I have endeavored for nearly 30 years to capitalize on that pity now. Amen. I like it when she pities me. Amen. I try to do things to cause her to pity me. Amen. And feel sorry for me. And she'll come over and rub my back. And I'll be like, oh, thank you. My muscles are so sore or whatever. And, oh, honey, I'm so hungry. And she'll have pity on me and get me something to eat. I'm so thirsty. She'll have pity on me. Amen. I like that. Amen. But you know what? We ought to have pity on each other. I believe that this message can be summarized by saying that so often we as Christians are so consumed with our lives and what we want and what we like and what we desire and what we... Can I tell you something? Jesus was nothing like that. Nothing. And then let me give you this in conclusion. Not only should we have pity on others, we should have patience with others, we should provide for others, we should pray for others, but let me give this to you lastly, we should proclaim to others. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. It didn't say, pastor, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Evangelist Curlin, you preach the gospel. The Bible said, go ye. That is an instruction to every single Christian. By the way, Jesus was a proclaimer. The Bible said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. In Isaiah 61 in verse 1, the Bible says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Hey, listen to me. You may not be that little bus kid that's on a third floor apartment in the slums of downtown Easton, but I'm going to tell you what, if you were, wouldn't you want someone to knock on your door and invite you to come to Sunday school? You may not be that single mom that's struggling to make ends meet, but if you were, wouldn't you want someone to come knock on your door and invite you to come to church? You may not be that blue class worker. You may not be that rich person that lives in the mansion on the hilltop. But if you were that person and you were without Jesus and you were dying and heading to hell, if you were lost and undone, if you were the one that had never truly been saved, if your soul was headed to an eternity destined for hell in the lake of fire and brimstone, which the Bible said is the second death, wouldn't you want someone to come tell you about Jesus? The answer to that question in everybody's mind and heart and voice is a resounding yes, yes, yes. I would want someone to come and tell me that Jesus alone can save. And if that is the answer, and it is, then friend, I want to tell you what, we better do our dead level best to proclaim to others the gospel. Because Jesus said, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I was reading this passage in my devotions, and I read the verse that I read in our text verse, and I thought, you know, I've got this down pretty good. I treat other people the way I would want to be treated for the most part. I'm not perfect. And I read the verse that I read in our text, and then the Lord said this to me. He said, hold on a minute, read on. And I want you to look in conclusion to Luke chapter 6. We will end here. Look at this with me. Don't miss this now, Luke chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And Jesus said, for if ye love them which love you. Pastor Gilmore, when I read these words, I said, that's me. That's me. I love those people that have loved me. Then Jesus said, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Would you look up here for just a minute? Here's what God's saying. The lost children of the devil love those people that are loving to them. God said, what do you have to boast in? Then he said this in verse 33, and if ye do good to them which do good to you. I said, Lord, that's me. I do. There's people that I know love me. I love them. And there's people that do good to me, and I do good to them. And God said, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye have hoped to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. When I got to this point in my devotions that day, tears began to stream down my cheeks. I'm glad as a Christian and as a preacher, Pastor Gilmore, that God hadn't given up on me. I'm glad He didn't throw in the towel when I was dumb and foolish and made mistakes. I'm glad He's still working on me, and I'm glad that I can stand here to say and say I'm different than what I was the last time I was here to preach. God's getting some of them rough edges straightened out. And He hadn't given up on me. Thank you, Lord. And I said, Lord, I've loved those people who've been loving to me and given to me. And God's done until this point is You've demonstrated the same thing that the children of the devil demonstrate. And then God said, now here's what a real Christian does in verse 36. He says, but love your enemies. And do good. And lend
hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he, that he is God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall be measured to you again. I'm glad that there was a day in my life when someone proclaimed the gospel to me, but I need to do that with others. I need to look at every face and say, if I was that person and I was without Christ and I was headed to hell, would I want somebody to come tell me about Jesus? Friends, sometimes that's a sacrifice. But Jesus said, as ye would that men should do unto you. I'm glad that there are people who have prayed for me, but I better be busy in my life praying for other people. People have needs. People are hurting. By the way, what you see on the outside does not always identify, and in most cases never identifies, what's going on the inside. We don't always understand. We don't always see. I used to be quick to judge. I was in a church one time, and there was a man, a grumpy old man. At least that's the way he seemed to me. And I remember saying that pastor, boy, what's up with that guy? He's a grouch. I didn't know if he's even saved. And he said, yeah, his wife just died of almost 50 years, I believe it was, a couple days ago. I'm going to tell you what. I said, Lord, man, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You don't know. You don't know. I don't know. We better pray for people. Amen. We not only need to proclaim, we need to pray. We need to provide for others. We need to have patience with others. And we need to have pity on others. You say, why so? It goes back to this golden rule. Do unto others. And brothers and sisters, it's not only those who entreat us well. It's those that are even our enemies. It's those who have not done good to us. It's those that we don't necessarily like. It's those who have done things to harm us or to hurt us. I'm going to tell you something. Brothers and sisters, the way we will win people is by pouring out coals of kindness and showing the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross of Calvary, but he went there and he bled and he died willingly for the same people that crucified him, for the same people that spat upon him, for the same people that mocked him, the same people that beat him, the same people that humiliated, the same people that wrongfully accused him. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to live like this, we begin to live like Jesus Christ. Pastor, this message, if our church, if this church takes it to heart, will be a message that will completely change the face of the First Baptist Church in Easton. I haven't changed what I believe. My convictions haven't changed. This is not the message of liberal Christianity or contemporary Christianity today. This is the message of old-fashioned Bible-believing Christianity. We just need to get back to it. Do unto others. Would you bow your head? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.